101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. You got a story about these modular homes. That is it, they could be coming to Shreveport, or are they coming?
Well, what's
the story here?
The story is, and I was speaking with the city officials last week about it because I saw it on the agenda for the city council today. And it was, they're accepting a $400,000 grant from Bloomberg Philanthropies for development of modular homes in Shreveport. Now, I read over all the documents, the resolution and all that, and I didn't see specifics about where it would be built or anything like that. And so I did a little checking, and it turns out it's for Providence House. This is not just for regular residents or any, it's not going in any particular neighborhood.
Okay.
The Providence House warehouse that's behind Providence House, I don't know if you've ever been in there.
I have
it's
not.
It's cool because, I mean, they store all the stuff that's donated in there. They're obviously going to get a new storage place, but they're tearing that warehouse down, and they're going to put the modular homes in there.
Now, that's over by the Jewish temple, the B'nai Zion.
Yes, downtown
right
Shreveport.
Right,
yes,
yeah.
Off Common Street.
Across from the Fairmont.
Right. Okay. They're going to, what they're going to do is, they right now they can serve 80 homeless families. When they put the modular homes in, it'll bump that up to 160. So it'll double how many families they can help. Now, some communities use shipping containers for these homes.
Right.
Shreveport's using what's called a modular home, and you can see a picture of it, you know, on our website.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool looking.
And,
it's very futuristic looking.
I don't
looking.
Know if they'll be the futuristic kind. There's all kind of different models. But the thing is, it's not just a $400,000 project. It's a $3 million project. So I tell you that to say Providence House will be raising the rest of the money. They'll be doing a big fundraising campaign to bring in the rest of the money. And then once they have the funding, they will tear down their warehouse and start putting these modular homes in. But, you know, to be quite honest, if you're homeless, living in a shelter setting, and rather than having a modular home, I think you would feel more like you have your own private space. You know, you can get in, shut the door. There's not people right, you know.
Sure.
I mean, it's still going to be a lot of people. Density is still going to be a little bit of an issue. But it's different from being in a shelter, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you will still have all the services of Providence House. There'll be the kitchen. There'll be, you know, all the educational opportunities for the kids. So it's an interesting concept. And they didn't say exactly how many modular homes would be built. I imagine it's going to be based on how much money can we raise. But they've got a nice start with the $400,000 from the Bloomberg Philanthropies. So it's coming to Shreveport. I first saw it and I thought, ooh, where are they going to put that? Because, you know, these kinds of developments cause a lot of people to get their panties in a twist.
Right. You know, that was my next question.
Right.
How is that going to fit in with downtown and trying to develop downtown?
Right. And it's not something, and if you drive it downtown, you rarely can you even see that warehouse.
Okay.
So you probably won't even see these homes. There's a couple of, if you go around a couple of blocks, you can see it. But I took a tour of it one time, so I'm pretty familiar with it. And it's a pretty convenient site. There's buses there. There's all the services you need right there near Providence House. So for the homeless population, it's a win-win. You know, the community's going to have to step up and donate the rest of the money, which we typically do. We're pretty good about that.
Now, you said other communities sometimes use shipping containers.
Yes.
But you said in the story that's not a viable option for Shreveport. Why is that?
I'm not sure. They just said that probably would not work for Shreveport. And I don't know if they need more modification because you want to put in windows. You know,
sure.
They probably take more work. Whereas if you just buy these modular homes already done, you just ship them in, plop, they're good to go. You have to do a lot of retrofitting with the shipping containers. These are kind of built to serve as homes.
Right,
you know, that's how
right.
they're built. They have the bathrooms in them and all that stuff. So it's a pretty interesting development for Shreveport. And we know we have a monster homeless population, you know, and specifically in downtown Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, to be in Providence House, you have to meet their criteria. You can't just walk in one day and go, I need a couple of nights. It's not quite how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But Providence House is one of the few that takes men, women, children, you know,
the
whole family.
I was thinking it was women.
They take men with their families as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they take just single men. I may be wrong. Somebody can correct me. But they do take the whole family. You know, everybody in the family can come. It's a real great project, and I hope they get the funding. It's good that, you know, And whether you like Mike Bloomberg and his groups or not, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's good that we're getting some of the money. We're getting some of the money for what is a good purpose.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to read more about that, you can check it out on KEELnews.com. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Well, I saw there was another story on 710keel.com. Regions Bank Tower.
Yes.
He's now on, I guess, going up for auction, which kind of surprised me because apparently it's the building has an 80% occupancy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why would it be up for auction? Is
I don't know. I'm not sure if the owners are arrears in taxes. Usually the sheriff's auction is because you're arrears in taxes.
Okay, right.
I may be wrong about that. Somebody can correct me. Or delayed in your paying your mortgage. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Now, this may have been before your time, but it started as the Commercial National Bank Tower.
Sure did.
And it was designed, the reason it has that kind of silhouette,
mm-hmm,
Inside the glass framing.
Yes.
It's because it's designed to look like that tower, the original, I think.
Oh,
somebody
cool.
Correct me. Maybe
cool.
It's supposed to be the Capitol. I don't know.
That's
but
cool.
I think it's supposed to be designed as the original tower, which is behind it.
Wow.
That used to have the clock on top, CNB.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then it would flash the time, and mm-hmm, then it would flash the temp. So cool. I still miss that to this day.
Tallest building in Shreveport. It's 25 floors, 365 feet tall.
So that was apparently started construction in the mid-80s.
Yes, it sure was.
Because I was working at Chelsea's in the square.
Okay.
When they started construction. So I got to watch. I remember when it was just floors, there were no walls on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. And the construction, I was a waiter and then bartender at Chelsea's. And so, in the daytime, you're not real busy.
Right.
as a bartender.
Right.
Hopefully, especially at a restaurant. And at about 5 o'clock, the construction foreman used to come in every evening. He was from out of town. I don't know the construction company.
Okay.
This is a long time ago. And he have dinner there at the bar. And so I kind of got to know him.
Oh, cool.
But not like hung out with him or anything.
Sure, sure.
But he did say one time, he said, you want to... Because I was commenting on the tower, how cool it was to watch the progress.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, it was 25 stories or something? And it was all the way up. And they had an elevator that was basically a cage on a chain that went up, the side of the building. And there were no walls, like I said.
Yeah.
And he goes, you want to see that? I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And he took me up all the way like to the top.
Wow.
Which is a little unnerving when there's no walls.
Oh my God. No kidding.
And there's wind. I don't care what kind of day it is. There's wind up there.
Oh man.
But it was really cool to see that.
Oh, that is neat. Well, it's interesting.
I look back and I think he liked me a little more than he should have.
Oh,
when I look back on it, I'm like, what was I thinking?
Okay.
I was naive.
Well, a similar building, the Regions building in Jackson, Mississippi, was sold earlier this year for almost $3 million, just under $3
million. And it was a Regions also.
Sure was.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if this sells for under $3 million, and, everybody in town, will Curtis Jackson buy it? Is he going to buy it? I mean, at $3 million to get a building like this that's 80% occupied?
Right.
If you've got the cash laying around, bam.
And
I would pull that trigger in a heartbeat.
And he's bought everything else.
Right.
Why not?
But we don't know, what does it need? Does it need a whole new AC system? Does it need, I mean, how much work needs to be done in the building? I'm not in there. I'm not a tenant. So I don't know. Do the elevators all work?
But if there's 20% available, why, what better place for the G unit main offices?
Oh, perfect.
Corporate headquarters.
Absolutely. And I mean, of course he would take the top floor and then, you know, whoever's up there gets bumped down a little bit, but you got to check it out. You got to go, you know, you got to go kick the tires, if you will, and see, hey, does it need $80 million worth of work? Because then it's a game changer.
And we know he was just in town. I don't know if he still is or not.
He sure was. I don't think he probably still is, but he might have looked at it. He might, because when does it go on the auction? I'm not sure.
Is it the end of
this month or November?
You would have asked me that.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you, but it's coming up.
Yeah, it is coming up. And who knows who will buy it? It's a big building. And would a new owner, would that run tenants off? Would they raise the rents? You know, that's all the part of the mix that you've got to decide. What, you know, is it worth it? So it's interesting.
October 29th.
Okay, so it's a few weeks away.
Coming up, yeah.
Sure is, absolutely.
God, this month.
Middle of the month already. Holy cow.
It really is.
Man.
Halloween's right around the corner.
We have some interesting guests today. Coming up just after 7, DeSoto Parish Sheriff Jason Richardson's going to join us. He's got a helicopter that he uses, and he's got a second one on the way. And he doesn't need that for DeSoto Parish. So he's entering these cooperative endeavor agreements with other agencies to help fund it so that a chopper could be in the air over Shreveport. Guess how long? You haven't read the article. How long for a chopper to leave Stonewall and be in the air over I-20?
Oh, I would think maybe 6 minutes.
2.5 minutes. Can you imagine?
No, that's pretty incredible.
If they're chasing a suspect,
right,
and they're in a neighborhood, within 3 minutes, the chopper's over you. And what they're, we'll explain it later, but it's, and later on in the 7 o'clock hour, just before, after the 7:30 news time, Dr. Brumley, Kay Brumley. I saw where some federal special ed workers were being laid off. I'm wondering if that's impacting Louisiana yet. We got a lot of education topics for him. But if you have questions, don't wait till there. Send the questions in now on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
And be sure, and we say this, the free Keel app, it's really pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you in touch with us, and it lets us stay in touch with you. We send alerts through it, but we're not going to send a lot of crap to your phone.
Who are our guests for the morning?
Right.
You'll get to see that ahead of time.
It'll let you know. That's how you connect with us on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. And that's also how you can get the podcast of the show. Because if you miss an hour or something, you can always catch up. And you can listen live through the app wherever you are. If you're in Dallas, if you're in Baton Rouge, we have people listen from all over.
I loved when Pastor Denny Duron was in the other day. He said he was in Memphis, and he was listening to us in Memphis. He said, I love y'all's app.
It's a way to connect to home.
Absolutely.
And know what's going on around Shreveport.
And the
Bossier
military folks that listen. It's amazing. Yeah. They want to hear what's going on in Shreveport because they were here for a while. Hey, I hadn't heard in a while what's going on. They listen when they're overseas, too. If they've been here, been living here, and they get shipped somewhere else, they get connected.
And
so
it's
cool.
Very cool. Like when I'm traveling, if I head over to Texas and I'm listening to Sean Hannity on the radio, then it's like, oh, it starts fading out. I said, I've got open the app.
Yep.
Boom.
There you go.
Don't miss a thing.
We are real sexy on the app too. I promise.
I'm 30 pounds lighter on the app.
We're not spoiled mayo on the app.
No, not at all. Not Mr. and Miss Marshmallow. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Now, you've got some news you want to share.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to freak out or anything like that. I have a medical procedure happening tomorrow. Nothing earth-shattering. I'm not going to give you too many details. just going to keep me away from the radio for a little while. I'm not sure the exact length of time, but I'm going to be out for a little while after today. So just everything's good. I'm not on death's door or anything like that for those who wish it.
Sorry to disappoint.
But I am going to be missing for a little while. So tomorrow when you come in, Mike and Ruben will still be here. They're going to be, you know, covering things. I'll be, you know, after a couple of days, I'll probably be nagging them from behind the scenes.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I certainly hope so.
Y'all will get those early morning emails and texts like, what are you doing, you idiots?
Right.
But everything is good. And, you know, the best thing about this is that the tribe of people in my life.
Right. Yes.
Is unfreaking believable.
Yes.
I'm staying with a dear friend who said, I'm not leaving you alone. You're going to be taken care of. I'm cooking. I'm doing all, you know, everything the doctor tells me to do. I'm going to be doing. I'm like, holy. And the people that are going to, I mean, just anything I want, driving me to and from, doing whatever I need. So if tomorrow you wake up and it's Mikey, and who's going to be with you for the first little while?
Jeff will be in the morning.
Okay.
Jeff will be here tomorrow morning.
Well, cool.
I got Louis Avalone lined up.
Okay. You got a lot of special guests coming in.
Yeah.
And so you miss hearing my craziness, which is all right. And I'll get a nice little respite and get a health issue taken care of that is not a major deal. It's a minor deal. And then I'll be back when I'm ready. And so I just wanted to put that out there because people are going to go, where is she? Tomorrow you'll go, oh, she's on an extended vacation, whatever. It is a medical procedure. FYI, people that know. But
and when I told Dina, my wife, because you're actually going to be for not far from us.
Right,
and,
right.
And her first response, and I love that, she was, oh, we can bring food.
Yes.
I said, yes, we can.
I tell her I love ribeyes.
Okay, yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah. She's not even buying beef for us now.
I think I do have to eat light for a few days.
I would imagine so.
You know, it's just a light diet for a couple of days. After that, I probably will be able to open a soup kitchen with all the food that's going to be coming. You know, I'm like, holy cow. But I am blessed. I have, of course, talked to my sons and my brothers, and they're, you know, do you need anything? I'm like, you just don't know how many people have surrounded me with love. And I'm, you know, I'm so blessed. I really am a blessed human being. And I feel it every day. So I'm going to miss being here. I'm not going to miss waking up at 3:30 in the freaking morning.
No kidding.
That alarm. In fact, while I'm sitting here.
Yeah, go ahead and turn it off.
I'm turning it off.
I turned my early one on this morning.
Yes. My alarm is now off. And let me turn off my last alarm, too. Okay. All right.
Congratulations.
John Paul Young. Already the text coming in. God bless you and speedy recovery.
Oh,
thank you, Mr.
Thank
Young.
Thank you, John Paul.
That's sweet. I'll be fine. I'm going to be fine. And I'll be back here annoying everybody. As soon as I can. Trust me.
I believe it. Thank you for sharing.
I'll be annoying y'all while I'm away.
No annoying at all. Believe me. It'll be all I can not to call you.
Right.
Or text you.
I know. The first week, I'm probably going to be kind of incognito. I'm just going
to
chill and play with the puppies and, you know, walk around the pool. I mean, I'm going to be living large. I'm telling you. Living large. So just relaxing. I'm reading some books. Catching up on some TV.
Trump is unprecedented, has experienced unprecedented success. And it kind of scares me. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, okay.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, I actually don't have as much time as I... As I wanted, let me just touch on a few things. You remember in Trump's first term, knowing as little as he did, and he had people surrounding him that weren't helping him.
Right.
He still got a lot done.
Yes.
The economy was roaring. He got unemployment was at record lows. He got a lot done. And it scared a lot of people. And You're not ever going to convince me that's not where COVID came from. They had to stop it. They had to stop the economy.
That's sad if it's true. Really sad.
And now, having learned what he's learned from his first term and corrected things and put a cabinet in place that has also been phenomenal, look at what Marco Rubio has accomplished. It's credited to Trump, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And rightly so. This peace agreement with Israel and Hamas. Aaron, I'm watching this last night. You don't realize you're watching history while you're watching it most of the time.
No, you're absolutely right.
Most of the time. You're in it. It's just, that's what's happening. But this is something that 50 years later, they're going to look back. Now, how long will it last? You're making a deal with a terrorist government, with a terrorist organization. I don't expect it to last.
No.
But he got the hostages out. And I look back on this second term now, and when you just start 8 peace deals that he's brought together, trillions of dollars in investment and trade deals for the United States. He's changed the face of trade that we've been literally raped over the years from other countries. He's changed that. The stock market is doing incredibly well. Largest tax cut in U.S. history. Crime in D.C. down. He's shut down the border, secured our... I mean, you could go on and on.
But he's evil, Mike.
How do you call him Hitler when the leader of the Israeli nation says he's the greatest president Israel has ever known?
Right.
He's the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House. But he's Hitler and he's a fascist.
Evil man. Yeah, that's what the folks will say.
But all of this success, Aaron, scares me because now I'm still... They've already tried twice.
Right.
They've tried twice.
Mm-hmm.
How much more can they take? How much more success can they take? It scares me.
Yeah.
And I literally pray for him.
Valid point. Valid point. Absolutely.
Coming up after 7 o'clock, Sheriff Jason Richardson's got some exciting news. We could be hearing... Yeah. Over Shreveport, Caddo Parish, and Bossier Parish.
We could put Gary McCoy in a helicopter. I don't think that's what it's for.
What?
For traffic. We'll
talk about that. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
What do you want me to say? I just said, we're on. He goes, well, then say something. Well, we're on the radio.
Did I say it like that?
We're on the radio.
Well, then say something.
Then say something.
I don't think I said it like that.
No, I'm just making fun of you. I'm in a weird mood today. I'm just going to tell you.
Right.
You know, Ruben, how when I go on vacation, I check out.
You're checked out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm checked out.
It's a special kind of checked out.
It's not drug induced,
right,
by the way.
Right.
I haven't been able to take my drugs, so that's
like
part of
it is sometimes? Is that what you're saying?
No. But I really feel like I'm on adrenaline. Something goofy is going on.
Well, you're going into a procedure, so.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's it.
And you know the old saying, there's no such thing as minor surgery when it's you.
You know, that's a very good point.
Oh, that's nothing. Well, it's not you. When it's you, it's not minor.
I did tell, I think Chica's going to be actually driving me to and fro, and I told her, you know, she can't walk down a hall without that phone.
Oh, I know. Right on
and
her
I
nose.
And I said,
all the time.
There will be no video of me being picked up from the hospital.
Oh, no.
I'm scared about
video
that.
Video of you coming out of anesthesia.
General anesthesia,
oh,
yes.
Wow.
I'm scared about that.
There is no telling what you would
say. I got to talk to Chica.
Oh, I know.
Talk to her.
Can you imagine the things I might say? Oh my God, that video could be valuable.
You're unhinged without drugs.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, I'm having a little medical procedure tomorrow, and so I'll be out for a little while. Nothing major. I'm not, you know, everything's going to be cool. But the people that are surrounding me with love is just amazing. But I'm going to be back, and I'll be nagging y'all pretty soon. But no don't let Chica post any video of me post-surgery, please.
Okay, Ruben, get Chica to post video.
Hey, you know what?
Definitely.
I'll keep her from posting it as long as I can see it.
Right.
You
got to take it, girl.
See, I'm cool with it being private video. Y'all right, want to see a little right. private video of me being stupid? That's fine. But, you know, and I'm thinking.
Dibs on that post. Already called dibs.
Yeah. That's funny. But I do have to thank y'all, because when I'm out, Ruben has to work his hiney off. You have to work your hiney off. You've got to schedule everything. Ruben's got to do all the news that I get here early and do. So I can't thank you two guys enough. So I appreciate it a ton.
I'm under no Very illusions welcome. Of whose show this is. Believe me.
Oh, hush.
You're definitely going to be missed.
And you're
going to
have guest hosts in, and you'll.
I got Lewis.
I can't wait for you to tell me when you watch all the city council meetings and stuff, how fun that is.
Oh, boy.
There's one today. You better check it out.
You know, we talked. Yeah, obviously, we got mentioned, too, by the way. I hear.
Well, not really us, but rumors are out there, and he was referring to us. Yeah, I'm sure.
By the way, we talked about, be sure to download the Keel app. You can listen to us wherever you are. Mm-hmm. Craig sent us a message. Said, listening from St. Louis this morning.
Oh, how cool.
That's awesome, Craig. Thank you so much.
Climb atop the arches and yell.
I'm king of the world.
Take a picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Sheriff Jason Richardson, DeSoto Parish Sheriff, going to join us after the news, top of the hour, talking about he's already got one helicopter. He wants another one. And he's going to work with local agencies all across Northwest Louisiana in conjunction. We'll hear from him. 1017 FM, 710Keel.com. Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. DeSoto Parish Sheriff Jason Richardson joining us. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning.
I kind of hope to hear behind you.
You're not up in it yet.
You're not up in the chopper then.
Not yet. They're going to pick me up in a few.
Sweet.
You've had a helicopter for how long in DeSoto Parish?
We've had it for a little over 10 years.
Okay. And now you're getting another one? Is that accurate?
That is accurate. Okay. Yeah, we've been working for the last probably 2 years with the governor's office and state police to be able to kind of upgrade what we have been doing. And so about a year ago, the state police started to acquire their new helicopters, and we kind of got pick of the litter of what they had. And ended up with a Bell 206 that was still in good shape and flying, but we were having it completely retrofitted, and it'll be basically a new helicopter.
205, 206, whatever it takes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this a replacement or an addition to?
It's as of right now, it's going to be an addition to. We're aware that when we get this, it's got all kind of new technology and equipment in it that we know we're going to be back and forth. Getting things straightened out that is normal with a new helicopter. And so at least through that period, we're going to maintain the second one. And the new one has been paid for and is operational. And so we make that as a backup, because again, there's maintenance that goes on with these aircraft that could take sometimes, you know, weeks, to complete. And so being there's no additional cost, to keeping the other one outside of the little bit of maintenance, since it won't be flown much, we're likely to keep both of them.
Now you went before the city council asking them for money to help fund the program so you could have a cooperative endeavor agreement so that the choppers could be used to help Shreveport. How many other communities are you going to be getting involved? I mean, how many others do you need involved to help foot the bill?
To foot the bill, but fortunately,
you're breaking up, Jason. Are you in a tunnel? You went in the chopper, didn't you? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
There we go.
There you are. That's
so,
better.
Yeah. So we...
Well, we lost
you. Oh, we lost you.
So I think I'm back now. I'm sorry. Okay. I live in the middle of the country, so...
There you are.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, is we're in a situation where we generally couldn't utilize a helicopter full-time in DeSoto Parish. We just don't have crime or the need for that. And to be honest, Shreveport probably couldn't justify that alone. But collectively, we certainly have plenty to do. So we're working with Shreveport, and we've been in contact with Sheriff Whitehorn in Caddo, as well as the sheriff in Bossier, Sheriff Whittington. And so we're working. Obviously, Shreveport is a direct neighbor to us. We have to work with them on a nearly daily basis, and so that's our first stop of getting all that complete and working out all of the kinks with that, and then we'll be moving from there. But our main objective is certainly to get Shreveport on board, and I'm sure you watched the meeting last night. One of the big things is fixing our line of communication. And while we talk often, we've never fully integrated communications between all of us. We all have the same type radio systems, but we don't communicate using that. And so this is going to push us forward to fix all of that and put us in a place we've never been.
Mm-hmm. Talking with DeSoto Parish Sheriff Jason Richardson. Jason, I'm just curious, logistically, when you have a chopper and now you're going to have two, the pilot situation, do you just go look at your deputies and go, hey, Charlie, you want to fly a chopper? Go take some lessons. Obviously, you hire pilots. How many do you have? Are they full-time DeSoto Parish Sheriff's deputies, or how does that work?
So, no, we went on a we've had a pilot for some time, but he had other duties. We actually recruited two new pilots and went on kind of a national search for the most qualified people that we could find. And so one started yesterday, and the other starts November 1st. But no, we went through a national search, and I think we ended up interviewing 11 people from South Dakota to New York, Baltimore,
nice,
California, and ended up with two extremely qualified, battle-tested people that fly in tactical type situations, and so this is
probably former military.
They're current military.
Okay. What do you anticipate the protocol for how the chopper is requested? Shreveport needs it for a chase. Bossier needs it for something else. How's that going to work? Who's going to make those ultimate decisions?
So the way that we intend on it working is that we hope that they don't have to request it. What we hope is that in our communications radio monitoring, that by the time they realize they need it, the helicopter's already on the way. So they'll be up every day that permits. They'll be up flying during specific hours that we kind of come up with using some analytics of what is, you know, again, what if you're having armed robberies and that time seems to be at 10:30 at night, then that will be their flight time is during a buffer zone on either time. They'll sit down and stonewall and monitor traffic and they'll respond appropriately. But we're not going to get bogged down in through a chain and call and get permission to get the helicopter. The helicopter's just coming.
Wow. Okay.
Nice.
And how soon do you need these cooperative endeavor agreements signed?
Well, we're hoping to get them in place by the first of the year. And certainly with Shreveport, that's their, you know, in their budget works now. And so I think that's, it seems to be positive, specifically after last night's meeting. I think that certainly looks like it's inevitable. We're not in any time crunch. I mean, we're actually operational today with our current helicopter. If they called now, we're able to respond. But this is kind of next level stuff.
And what are, Sheriff Richardson, what are some of the scenarios? You mentioned bank robberies. What are some of the most common scenarios that the helicopter is used for? Do you use it for traffic enforcement?
No, not as of right now. I mean, certainly you could spot, you could do reckless driving. That is something, and we often get those calls on the interstate where, you know, you get a report of reckless drivers. And so you could, if they're in the air, certainly use it for locating those people, or it's kind of obvious from above when someone is speeding, if you compare them to traffic. And so certainly that could be used for that, but that's not certainly our intention. We're looking for supportive officers on the ground, supporting things such as Mardi Gras parades or Independence Bowl and all of those community events where having an overhead eye in the sky is beneficial, as well as even things such as accidents on I-20 where traffic is a problem. You can use that. They can respond and be there faster than likely scenes on the ground and kind of give them an idea of what's going on. So that's just a couple of scenarios.
Interesting.
Very nice.
Appreciate your time, Sheriff. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Sheriff. Be safe. Coming up in about 20 minutes, the Superintendent of Education for the state of Louisiana, Dr. Cade Brumley, joining us. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm going to digress. Unless you had something, did you have?
No, sir. You in charge.
I'm going to. That's scary. I'm going to digress just a little bit.
All right.
You know, President Trump, this just incredible success. And we were talking earlier, and I said, most of the time, there's very few times that you witness history being made, and do you realize that you're witnessing it at the time? I think of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
We knew after the second plane hit, okay, this is serious,
right?
Yesterday was one of those days for me that to watch these countries come together and this peace deal signed with Israel and Hamas. Now, you're brokering peace with a terrorist organization. Realistically and historically, I don't expect it to hold.
Sure.
But changes, a momentum shift has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the overall scheme. I mean, Aaron, name me any political figure that has had the Israelis and the Muslims lined up to shake his hand, take pictures.
Jimmy Carter standing, had a pretty good deal. Come on now.
Standing ovations. Jimmy Carter didn't attain what I don't think President Trump has attained.
I don't know. People would say that was a pretty big peace deal.
Even recent months. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the Prime Minister of Israel saying this is the best friend Israel has ever had in the White House, that's pretty incredible. But here's where I'm going with this. I've heard Trump made the comment before, and this bothers me. I'm trying to get into heaven. He's joking. I'm trying to get into heaven. And I'm hoping to do enough good things. And I heard a guest last night on Fox News that made the comment, again, semi-tongue-in-cheek. Why, with this, I think Trump just might have gotten his wish of getting into heaven. And I'm like, it's not what we do that gets us into heaven. We don't earn our way into heaven. And I just had to express this.
What do you mean we don't earn our way into heaven?
If you mean you
earn your way into hell, is what you're...
No.
To the opposite?
We're born into going into hell. That's where we're destined.
So you've got to earn your way out of hell into heaven?
You don't earn it at all. That's the whole point of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. That had to be paid. A man couldn't pay it. We're imperfect. Only a perfect sacrifice. So we don't earn it. We accept it, if that makes any sense.
I'm missing something, but I understand sort of.
So when I hear that, and I heard it again last night, and it just was like, no, we don't earn our way in. It's already been paid.
Interesting.
Already been paid. Otherwise, why would God have sent Jesus? If we could do it ourselves, why would God have sent Jesus?
Interesting point.
I digress. But look, we do have Dr. Kate Brumley, speaking of edumacation, going to be joining us in about 10 minutes, talking. We got a lot of things about Louisiana education we'll talk to him about. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Louisiana Superintendent of Education, Dr. Cade Brumley, going to be joining us. Lots of topics that he's got to cover. Stay close. We'll be with him right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Louisiana Superintendent of Education, Dr. Cade Brumley joining us. Dr. Brumley, first of all, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Always good to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us. First thing we need to talk about is this federal government shutdown, and how is this affecting Louisiana education?
Well, look, we're certainly monitoring it. We are certainly staying in contact with school systems across the state. But at this point, I don't think that we've had any real interruption to the services being provided to students. And we'll just continue to monitor that.
Special ed employees, federal special ed employees, I believe a lot of them have been fired. Do we know if that's permanent at this point or no?
No, I mean, I saw that information just like you did, Aaron. We have really good connections there with the Federal Department of Education, Secretary McMahon, et cetera. They did not necessarily communicate out to the state's employment and personnel decisions, but I did see that. Certainly what we realize is even if those individuals are no longer at the agency, that special education laws across the country are still in effect. You know, the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act, IDEA, is a federal law. And so we will continue to follow that here in the state of Louisiana to make sure students with disabilities get the services they need, regardless of whether they're employees at the United States Department of Education in that particular office.
Is some of that funding in jeopardy too, though? Could that be?
We haven't heard anything about special education funding. And in fact, I was with Secretary McMahon, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago, and she was very clear that she had no desire to see any special education funding cut in Louisiana or through the country. She was very clear about that. So, in fact, I've only heard the opposite, that, you know, she wants to make sure that that funding is retained and possibly even increased. Now, she has been very clear, working alongside the president, that they have a desire to what she is calling return education to the states, what we would call close down the U.S. Department of Education. But she is saying return education to the state. So I guess that they are sorting through all of that. But No, I've not heard anything about reduced funding for special education in Louisiana.
Dr. Brumley, you just kind of led into my next question. President Trump was talking about wanting to eliminate the Department of Education, hiring McMahon under those auspices of what's the latest on that? Has there been any movement toward the elimination of the department?
Well, Secretary McMahon will tell you, if you asked her, she'll say, you know, the president hired me so that I could fire myself.
Right.
But, you know, we haven't seen that agency move to close. We have certainly seen personnel released from that agency. We've seen a few items shift to other federal agencies. But it would truly take a legitimate act of Congress to close the federal agency. So I think that they know that there is, in some ways right now, an uphill battle to close the U.S. Department of Education. But it is a fight that they are undertaking and they believe in. And they believe that at the end of the day that they will be able to shutter the doors on the U.S. Department of Education.
Big meeting with Bessie today. And one of the proposals you and your team have put together is, I'm like, developing a plan to decrease state testing for high school students. Please.
This falls in line with what we have been doing. You know, last year was the first year that students in grades 3 through 8 saw a LEAP test that was 25% shorter. So they saw that last year. We are moving towards, within the next couple of years, cutting the social studies test that students take in grades 3 through 8 and the science test in half, moving to only taking those in certain years. And our latest move is, instead of 6 required standardized tests in high school, we would move to 4, basically a comprehensive exam in English, math, biology, and civics. And so, you know, I am in the number whenever people talk about kids in Louisiana testing too much. You know, I believe that. And I have endeavored throughout my time to try to reduce that. And so at the same time, I believe that we have to test students. We need to know where they are, because if we don't, we can't make proper instructional decisions or finance decisions or policy decisions. So we have undertaken this over the last couple of years and moving forward in what I believe to be a strategic way, where, you know, we don't have kids sitting there in classrooms all day taking standardized tests, but instead we're giving more time where they're not doing that, and teachers can simply teach, not be worried about a test.
One of the problems that we've seen recently is truancy rates increasing, some parishes at an alarming rate. What are you and your office doing to address this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think truancy and chronic absenteeism is very much a local issue. It's not a Baton Rouge needs to solve it for my local community issue. Now, Baton Rouge and the state, we can support that. But a couple of years, well, last year, a Harvard-Stanford study came out, and it was talking about Louisiana's remarkable, that was their word, remarkable academic improvements, but they said it was minimized in some way because of attendance problems. So we've simply been using our office alongside our State Board of Education to try and pull together juvenile judges and DAs and faith-based communities, et cetera, to communicate and network locally so that they can take on these particular challenges. And in fact, last year we saw a 2% reduction in absentee rates. We saw a 2% reduction in truancy rates. And what we are seeing so far this year, just through this additional attention and more of an all hands on deck approach, we're seeing those numbers improve again. So we're happy about that.
AP scores for high school students. I know we're seeing some improvements there too. That's really good news for a lot of our students.
Oh, Aaron, absolutely. So, I mean, we've been committed to, for those students who want to go to college or university, and that's what the family wants, can we bank credits for them in high school, either through dual enrollment or AP? And so we have seen just skyrocketing performance in advanced placement coursework in our high schools. These are courses that students can take. They're higher-level courses, and at the end, they're given a national standardized test on that subject. And if they hit a certain score, they earn college credit for that, and they don't have to take that course in college, like U.S. history or biology or et cetera. And so the latest round of numbers are just so good, and it's just really a testament to the work that teachers are doing out there to prepare students. I mean, across the boards, our standardized tests, Nation's Report Card, U.S. News and World Report, AP scores, you know, there's just no doubt the facts are speaking that Louisiana is the most rapidly improving state in the country for educational outcomes.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the when we go back to the truancy issue. Does that really go back to the pandemic? When education for the world changed, that really had an impact that we're going to have to crawl out of that for decades probably, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think the way in which people approached education changed during the pandemic. And it became because in many cases the government was saying don't come to school. In many people's minds, school became more optional than it ever had been. And so working out of that is really important. And, you know, I mean, we are seeing more targeted effort from judges and DAs and school systems right now. And certainly we're pleased with that. But I agree with you, Aaron. I think that the pandemic mindset created a lot of the issues that are being faced right now in terms of absenteeism and truancy.
One of the things that I think has been so successful and many parishes have done it is removed cell phones from the classroom. Have you started to see some of the benefits from removing these cell phones?
They better because, you know, we were able to get a state law passed that prohibited cell phones during the instructional day. And so it is a violation of state law for a student to have on a cell phone on during the instructional day. And look, I was visiting with a group of teachers just last week and I asked them, I said, look, we're a year into this now. How's it working? Oh, mm-hmm. The best thing ever. Thank God we're getting time back. Kids are talking to each other, not texting at lunch. I have to prepare more content because kids are on task. I mean, it has really gone well. And I even saw a study that came out yesterday, and I can't quote or cite the source. I apologize, but it basically said that the stricter that the school is on enforcing cell phone policies. So for us in Louisiana, the stricter the school is on enforcing state law prohibiting cell phones, the more satisfied in the job the teacher is. So it was basically saying the stricter the enforcement of cell phone policy, the happier the teacher. Mm-hmm. So it was a little but big thing that we were able to pull off, and it seems to be making a big difference.
Absolutely. Dr. Cade Brumley, Education Superintendent, Louisiana. Thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great week.
Uh-huh. Dr. Brumley, thank you so much. We're blessed to have you in your position and keep up the good work. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We talked about it a little earlier, but a lot of people might just be tuning in, and you're going to be out starting tomorrow.
Yes,
I'm going to be out for a little while.
I don't want to lock in a time. I'm having a medical procedure, nothing mm-hmm. serious, nothing major. Going to be fine, but it does require some healing and staying away for a little while. So I am asking for prayers, and you know, just think of me. I'll still be kind of behind the scenes, kind of kicking these guys in email and such. But in terms of being on the radio day to day, I'm going to take a little time off for healing. Mm-hmm. And everything will be back to normal here soon. I don't know the timetable. It's just a matter of God's will. And I appreciate all the prayers and thoughts and things that have come my way. And I can't thank, I mean, Mike, if there are people that are blessed and have, you know, so many wonderful people in their lives, more than I don't know them. I am circled by people that really love and care about me, that are stepping up to keep the dog, to make sure I'm safe, make sure I'm fed, make sure I'm getting to and from appointments. I mean, it's just been amazing, the outpouring of love from my circle.
There's just awesome. There's a story that says if you meet butt heads all day, mm-hmm. every day, then you might want to take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
And so yeah. when you say you're surrounded by these good people, Aaron, that's a testament to you and your character.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
and
sweet
so
of you.
I am going to lay that out there.
I have a tribe of people that I dearly love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have talked to my brothers, the two brothers that I'm in constant contact with. We're real close. And they often ask her, you know, are you thinking about moving back to Baton Rouge? Are you thinking about moving to where one of your boys are? And I often, the answer to them is, I have too many people that are like sisters to me here.
Mm-hmm.
I have too many people here that mm-hmm. I love dearly and care about in different circles of life.
Right.
That yeah. I would miss. I would miss terribly. So the answer is no, this is my home. This is where my people are. And yes, I miss my children and I do go visit my children and my family. But to feel the love in a time when you are in kind of a, it's not a crisis. I'm not going to tell it a crisis, but when you are
sure.
not at your
you're
best.
You're going through challenges.
Yeah, you're going through challenges. And to feel the love, it's like, man, this is absolutely, I'm blessed.
A blessing.
I'm just
That's
a blessed
right.
person. And I feel it. And but I'll be back when I'm back. But I'll be bugging these guys from behind
we
the scenes.
We love you.
Yeah, we love you too.
1017 FM, 710 Keel. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. DeSoto Parish Sheriff Jason Richardson joining us. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning.
I kind of hope to hear behind
not,
you.
You're not up in it yet.
You're
huh?
not up in the chopper then.
Not yet. They're going to pick me up in a few.
Sweet.
You've had a helicopter for how long in DeSoto Parish?
We've had it for a little over 10 years.
Okay. And now you're getting another one? Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been working for the last probably 2 years with the governor's office and state police to be able to kind of upgrade what we have been doing. And so about a year ago, the state police started to acquire their new helicopters, and we kind of got pick of the litter of what they had. And ended up with a Bell 206 that was still in good shape and flying, but we were having it completely retrofitted, and it'll be basically a new helicopter.
205, 206, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this a replacement or an addition to?
It's as of right now, it's going to be an addition to. We're aware that when we get this, it's got all kind of new technology and equipment in it that we know we're going to be back and forth. Getting things straightened out that is normal with a new helicopter. And so at least through that period, we're going to maintain the second one. And the new one has been paid for and is operational. And so we make that as a backup, because again, there's maintenance that goes on with these aircraft that could take sometimes, you know, weeks, to complete. And so being there's no additional cost, to keeping the other one outside of the little bit of maintenance, since it won't be flown much, we're likely to keep both of them.
Now you went before the city council asking them for money to help fund the program so you could have a cooperative endeavor agreement so that the choppers could be used to help Shreveport. How many other communities are you going to be getting involved? I mean, how many others do you need involved to help foot the bill?
We're in a situation where we generally couldn't utilize a helicopter full-time in DeSoto Parish. We just don't have crime or the need for that. And to be honest, Shreveport probably couldn't justify that alone. But collectively, we certainly have plenty to do. So we're working with Shreveport, and we've been in contact with Sheriff Whitehorn in Caddo, as well as the sheriff in Bossier, Sheriff Whittington. And so we're working, obviously Shreveport is a direct neighbor to us. We have to work with them on a nearly daily basis. And so that's our first stop of getting all that complete and working out all of the kinks with that. And then we'll be moving from there. But our main objective is certainly to get Shreveport on board. I'm sure you watched the meeting last night. One of the big things is fixing communication. And while we talk often, we're fully integrated communication, all of us. We all have the same type radio systems, but we don't communicate using that. And so this is going to push forward, fix all of it, put us in a place we've never been. Mm-hmm.
Talking with District Jason Richardson. Jason, I'm just curious, logistics, when you have a chopper and now you're going to have two, the pilot situation, do you just go look at your deputies and go, hey, Charlie, you want to fly a chopper? Go take some lessons. Obviously, you hire pilots. How many do you have? Are they full-time DeSoto Parish Sheriff's deputies, or how does that work?
So, no, we went on a we've had a pilot for some time, but he had other duties. We actually recruited two new pilots and went on kind of a national search for the most qualified people that we could find. And so one started yesterday, and the other starts November 1st. But no, we went through a national search, and I think we ended up interviewing 11 people from South Dakota to New York, Baltimore,
nice,
California, and ended up with two extremely qualified, battle-tested people that that fly in tactical type situations. And so this is
probably former military.
They're current military.
Okay. What do you anticipate the protocol for how the chopper is requested? Shreveport needs it for a chase. Bossier needs it for something else. How's that going to work? Who's going to make those ultimate decisions?
So the way that we intend on it working is that we hope that they don't have to request it. What we hope is that in our communications radio monitoring, that by the time they realize they need it, the helicopter's already on the way. So they'll be up every day that permits. They'll be up flying during specific hours that we kind of come up with using some analytics of what is, you know, again, what if you're having armed robberies and that time seems to be at 10:30 at night, then that will be their flight time is during a buffer zone on either time. They'll sit down and stonewall and monitor traffic and they'll respond appropriately. But we're not going to get bogged down in through a chain and call and get permission to get the helicopter. The helicopter's just coming.
Wow. Okay.
Nice.
And how soon do you need these cooperative endeavor agreements signed?
Well, we're hoping to get them in place by the first of the year. And certainly with Shreveport, that's their, you know, in their budget works now. And so I think that's, it seems to be positive, specifically after last night's meeting. I think that certainly looks like it's inevitable. We're not in any time crunch. I mean, we're actually operational today with our current helicopter. If they called now, we're able to respond. But this is kind of next level stuff.
And what are, Sheriff Richardson, what are some of the scenarios? You mentioned bank robberies. What are some of the most common scenarios that the helicopter is used for? Do you use it for traffic enforcement?
No, not as of right now. I mean, certainly you could do reckless driving. That is something, and we often get those calls on the interstate where, you know, you get a report of reckless drivers. And so you could, if they're in the air, certainly use it for locating those people, or it's kind of obvious from above when someone is speeding if you compare them to traffic. And so certainly that could be used for that, but that's not certainly our intention. We're looking for supportive officers on the ground, supporting things such as Mardi Gras parades or Independence Bowl and all of those community events where having an overhead eye in the sky is beneficial, as well as even things such as accidents on I-20 where traffic is a problem. You can use that. They can respond and be there faster than likely scenes on the ground and kind of give them an idea of what's going on. So that's just a couple of scenarios.
Interesting.
Very nice.
Appreciate your time, Sheriff. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Sheriff. Be safe. Coming up in about 20 minutes, the superintendent of education for the state of Louisiana, Dr. Kate Brumley, joining us. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Story on 710keel.com. Regions Bank Tower going on the auction block. Now, that kind of, first of all, that struck me because as odd because it's the building apparently is 80% occupied.
That is amazing.
I know, which, first of all, that's very cool for a downtown building, especially the tallest one in North Louisiana,
yeah,
to be 80% occupied. But if you've got 80% of your rent being covered, why is it in sheriff's sale?
That is a really good question, and I don't know. Is it a tax issue? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Another question is, will Curtis Jackson, he's bought everything else downtown. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't he maybe set up the top two floors as headquarters and corporate offices for G-Unit Studios?
Yeah.
It's two blocks from his studios. It's between the where the proposed dome site's going to be and the riverfront properties that he has.
And he's talked a lot about bringing more businesses to downtown. That bottom floor's got a lot of space for businesses, like little restaurants and shops and stuff. It's got a whole lot of those kinds of spaces. So he could fill that building up with all kind of cool stuff.
All roads lead to Shreveport.
Mm-hmm. Now, a similar building, was it in Monroe or Jackson?
Jackson. And it was also, ironically, a Regions Tower building. It
sold for just under $3 million. And I'm thinking, if you get that building for $3 million, and it's 80% occupied,
right,
you're getting a steal.
Kind of, yeah.
What did it cost to build in the 80s? Probably $10 million to build it? I don't know. I haven't done the research. But the other problem is you don't know what problems come with it. Does it need a whole new heating and AC? But it wouldn't be 80% occupied if it didn't have heating. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
If it wasn't a functioning building. But maybe it needs a lot of paint. Maybe it needs a lot of work that could be really costly for a new owner. I don't know. I haven't been in that building in a long time.
I haven't either. I honestly have not.
No. So I'm curious. And the date for the auction is later this month, right?
The 29th. The 29th of this month, which is just 2 weeks away.
Hmm.
No. Yeah, 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
This is the 14th.
Wow. So it is.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. Middle of October already. I'd be curious to see who gets it and what they're going to do with it. And 50 Cent, could that be another one of the properties in his arsenal that he's going to use to rehab downtown is his plan. You know, that's what he's saying. And is that building in that new economic district? Does it fall in that territory?
I bet they could add it to it.
You know some people? I think he knows some people.
Oh, by the way.
Let's stretch the boundary.
I don't know what... But would rent classify as economic?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably
not. I don't know, unless you put in retail and restaurants on, like you say, on the bottom floor.
That could qualify.
That would generate traffic, foot traffic, and retail sales.
But you have to have so many jobs, too, don't you?
You have to have it, like, I think it's 10 jobs per.
Well, if you open a little restaurant down there, that's probably 10 jobs.
I would think.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll be definitely watching that, because that's who else buys it, though? I'm trying to some sort of a development company.
Could
somebody flip it? I don't know.
You know, with all of these problems that we've seen with these out-of-state landlords and these apartment complexes, I kind of shudder at the thought of some out-of-town entity buying this and then letting it go to crap.
Right. How would it be?
And you can't get in touch with them.
How would it be if part of that building was residential?
I think that'd be great.
Overlooking the river, you can see the whole city.
Those upper floors?
Oh my gosh, that would be.
Yeah.
You'd pay high dollar for those. I mean, you really would. You'd have to convert,
penthouse suites.
That'd be awesome. The only thing they're missing is a little balcony outside overlooking, you know, I would love that. But, man, a big penthouse suite up there overlooking the river or the whole city, that'd be kind of cool.
There's wind up there, too, by the way. You don't know that when you're on the floor or on the ground.
You went up in that building when they were building it,
didn't you? When they were building it back in the mid-'80s, I used to work at Chelsea's. I was a waiter, and a bartender. And the construction foreman used to come in every evening and have dinner and sit at the bar. And we got and we talked a lot. And he took me up in the before there were even walls.
Wow.
It was all concrete flooring going up 25 stories. And when you're in, you take that elevator, and I say elevator with the loosest phrase, because it was basically a cage on a chain that took you up to the top. And it was large because they would take equipment up. And when you get up on that 25th floor or whatnot, and there's no walls, it's just floor. It's a little unnerving. That wind is blowing.
Wow. I got a text that there's a huge likelihood the Regents building will be repurchased at auction by basically the same current owner. Not sure the issue and not sure how, but have been told by such a sale largely wiped clean any liens and debts and will provide a clean title. So that's maybe what they're looking for.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's very interesting.
We shall see. What if they get out?
Is that kind of playing the game kind of thing?
Maybe so. Maybe you want. Maybe there was a lien or something by somebody else who thought they had a right to the building or part of the. I don't know. It gets real messy. I certainly don't understand all that nonsense.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So much for Curtis Jackson.
He might outbid him. You never know.
Well, and that's the thing. That's a danger if you go into a situation like that. Somebody going to come in and just jack it up on you.
Yeah, if he really wants it, he can get it.
Yeah.
He's got the dough.
Coming up, we'll talk with Dr. Cade Brumley, Superintendent of Education. Really some good news for Louisiana education. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You said Katy Poo? Just Katy Poo?
I never said that.
Dr. Cade Brumley? Katy Poo. Talk to us about the state of education in the state of Louisiana right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Louisiana Superintendent of Education, Dr. Cade Brumley joining us. Dr. Brumley, first of all, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Always good to be with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us. First thing we need to talk about is this federal government shutdown, and how is this affecting Louisiana education?
Well, look, we're certainly monitoring it. We are certainly staying in contact with school systems across the state. But at this point, I don't think that we've had any real interruption to the services being provided to students. And we'll just continue to monitor that.
Special ed employees, federal special ed employees, I believe a lot of them have been fired. Do we know if that's permanent at this point or no?
No, I mean, I saw that information just like you did, Aaron. We have really good connections there with the Federal Department of Education, Secretary McMahon, et cetera. They did not necessarily communicate out to the state's employment and personnel decisions, but I did see that. Certainly what we realize is even if those individuals are no longer at the agency, that special education laws across the country are still in effect. You know, the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act, IDEA, is a federal law. And so we will continue to follow that here in the state of Louisiana to make sure students with disabilities get the services they need, regardless of whether there are employees at the United States Department of Education in that particular office.
Is some of that funding in jeopardy too, though? Could that be?
We haven't heard anything about special education funding. And in fact, I was with Secretary McMahon, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago. And she was very clear that she had no desire to see any special education funding cut in Louisiana or through the country. She was very clear about that. So, in fact, I've only heard the opposite, that, you know, she wants to make sure that that funding is retained and possibly even increased. Now, she has been very clear, working alongside the president, that they have a desire to what she is calling return education to the states, what we would call close down the U.S. Department of Education. But she is saying return education to the state. So I guess that they are sorting through all of that. But no, I've not heard anything about reduced funding for special education in Louisiana.
Dr. Brumley, you just kind of led into my next question. President Trump was talking about wanting to eliminate the Department of Education, hiring McMahon under those auspices of what's the latest on that? Has there been any movement toward the elimination of the department?
Well, Secretary McMahon will tell you, if you ask her, she'll say, you know, the president hired me so that I could fire myself.
Right.
But, you know, we haven't seen that agency move to close. We have certainly seen personnel released from that agency. We've seen a few items shift to other federal agencies. But it would truly take a legitimate act of Congress to close the federal agency. So I think that they know that there is in some ways right now an uphill battle to close the U.S. Department of Education, but it is a fight that they are undertaking and they believe in, and they believe that at the end of the day that they will be able to shutter the doors on the U.S. Department of Education.
Big meeting with Bessie today, and one of the proposals you and your team have put together is, I'm like, developing a plan to decrease state testing for high school students. Please.
This falls in line with what we have been doing. You know, last year was the first year that students in grades 3 through 8 saw a LEAP test that was 25% shorter. So they saw that last year. We are moving towards, within the next couple of years, cutting the social studies test that students take in grades 3 through 8 and the science test in half, moving to only taking those in certain years. And our latest move is, instead of 6 required standardized tests in high school, we would move to 4, basically a comprehensive exam in English, math, biology, and civics. And so, you know, I am in the number whenever people talk about kids in Louisiana testing too much. You know, I believe that. And I have endeavored throughout my time to try to reduce that. And so at the same time, I believe that we have to test students. We need to know where they are, because if we don't, we can't make proper instructional decisions or finance decisions or policy decisions. So we have undertaken this over the last couple of years and moving forward in what I believe to be a strategic way, where, you know, we don't have kids sitting there in classrooms all day taking standardized tests. But instead, we're giving more time where they're not doing that, and teachers can simply teach, not be worried about a test.
One of the problems that we've seen recently is truancy rates increasing, some parishes at an alarming rate. What are you and your office doing to address this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think truancy and chronic absenteeism is very much a local issue. It's not a Baton Rouge needs to solve it for my local community issue. Now, Baton Rouge and the state, we can support that. But a couple of years, well, last year, a Harvard-Stanford study came out, and it was talking about Louisiana's remarkable, that was their word, remarkable academic improvements, but they said it was minimized in some way because of attendance problems. So we've simply been using our office alongside our State Board of Education to try and pull together juvenile judges and DAs and faith-based communities, et cetera, to communicate and network locally so that they can take on these particular challenges. And in fact, last year we saw a 2% reduction in absentee rates. We saw a 2% reduction in truancy rates. And what we are seeing so far this year, just through this additional attention and more of an all-hands-on-deck approach, we're seeing those numbers improve again. So we're happy about that.
AP scores for high school students. I know we're seeing some improvements there, too. That's really good news for a lot of our students.
Oh, Aaron, absolutely. So, I mean, we've been committed to, for those students who want to go to college or university, and that's what the family wants, can we bank credits for them in high school, either through dual enrollment or AP? And so we have seen just skyrocketing performance in advanced placement coursework in our high schools. These are courses that students can take. They're higher-level courses, and at the end, they're given a national standardized test on that subject. And if they hit a certain score, they earn college credit for that, and they don't have to take that course in college, like U.S. history or biology or et cetera. And so the latest round of numbers are just so good, and it's just really a testament to the work that teachers are doing out there to prepare students. I mean, across the boards, our standardized tests, Nation's Report Card, U.S. News and World Report, AP scores, you know, there's just no doubt the facts are speaking that Louisiana is the most rapidly improving state in the country for educational outcomes.
All right, let's talk a little bit about when we go back to the truancy issue. Does that really go back to the pandemic? When education for the world changed, that really had an impact that we're going to have to crawl out of that for decades, probably, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think the way in which people approached education changed during the pandemic, and it became because in many cases the government was saying don't come to school. In many people's minds, school became more optional than it ever had been. And so working out of that is really important. And, you know, I mean, we are seeing more targeted effort from judges and DAs and school systems right now. And certainly we're pleased with that. But I agree with you, Aaron. I think that the pandemic mindset created a lot of the issues that are being faced right now in terms of absenteeism and truancy.
One of the things that I think has been so successful in many parishes have done it is removed cell phones from the classroom. Have you started to see some of the benefits from removing these cell phones?
Yeah, I mean, they better because, you know, we were able to get a state law passed that prohibited cell phones during the instructional day. And so it is a violation of state law for a student to have on a cell phone on during the instructional day. And look, I was visiting with a group of teachers just last week and I asked them, I said, look, we're a year into this now. How's it working? Oh, mm-hmm. The best thing ever. Thank God we're getting time back. Kids are talking to each other, not texting at lunch. I have to prepare more content because kids are on task. I mean, it has really gone well. And I even saw a study that came out yesterday, and I can't quote or cite the source. I apologize, but it basically said that the stricter that the school is on enforcing cell phone policies. So for us in Louisiana, the stricter the school is on enforcing state law prohibiting cell phones, the more satisfied in the job the teacher is. So it was basically saying the stricter the enforcement of cell phone policy, the happier the teacher. Mm-hmm. So it was a little but big thing that we were able to pull off, and it seems to be making a big difference.
Absolutely. Dr. Cade Brumley, Education Superintendent, Louisiana. Thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great week.
Uh-huh. Dr. Brumley, thank you so much. We're blessed to have you in your position and keep up the good work. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I hope you don't mind, but I have my Sunday school class.
Please
put you on our prayer list.
Please, every if you're a
no
church
specifics, just
faith person, please keep me in your prayers. I'm having a medical procedure tomorrow, if you have not heard. Not that big a deal. It's pretty routine, to be quite blunt. And I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. So I'll be kind of behind the scenes. You know, I got to recuperate for a little while, but then I'll kind of be behind the scenes doing some stuff. You might see me put some digital stuff up, and I might be kicking Mike and Ruben from behind the scenes, but I won't be on the air for a couple of weeks probably. So just keep me in your prayers. It's all good. I got a tribe of people.
Yes.
I feel the love. When the going gets tough, you feel the love in your life.
Sure.
I'm a very blessed human being. I'm very blessed human being. I've got so many people reaching out and praying and, can I do anything? Can I send stuff? Even our friend John Glover.
John Glover.
She just had surgery herself.
I did not know that.
And she and I've been checking on her, and she texted me this morning, if there's anything you need, I'll get on my walker and I'll come. And I'm like,
and she would.
She would.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you take care of you and just keep praying for me, and I'll keep praying for you. And so she and I'll probably text each other during our convalescence and see how we're doing. But it's people like that. I mean, we're not close personal friends, but we have built a relationship where I care about her and she cares about me, and I feel it. And I have so many people like that. Don't make me cry. I'm like, this is gonna be easy breezy, and I'll be back shooting tequila by Sunday.
There you go. maybe by Thursday.
Oh, well, Thursday's the wine.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I'm gonna be ready for wine Wednesday because the procedure's tomorrow. So
right,
maybe not.
Right.
Maybe next Wednesday. But you know, everybody keep praying, and I'll be fine. I'll be back here to annoy everybody in the city as soon as I can.
Well,
because I'll be missing it.
Deeply missed.
Well, you'll do great. You and Ruben will cover, and you're going to have a blast. You're going to have a lot of cool guest hosts.
Yep.
So
got some folks lined up.
Have
got some
fun.
Guests lined up. So
there's a city council meeting. The public safety committee starts at 1:30 today, and the city council at 3:00. So you get there.
Uh-huh. I'll do that.
Watch it on
TV.
I'm
going to keep up with that stuff now.
I know.
Can you have that set up? At least like have them on your earphones. Have it while they're doing the procedure.
No. No.
You know how they have music playing or whatever. Aaron will have the city council meeting audio going in during her surgery.
That's probably not going to happen. Probably not going to happen.
Love you. Going to miss you.
I'll love you guys, and I'll be back when I can.
101.7 FM, 710KEEL.com.